You cannot undo the past. You cannot control the future. But you can live in the present. You know, this is a message that God gave me while I was on vacation. Let me explain. 2.5 years ago, in August of 2014, Jody and I had the privilege to go back to my all-time favorite vacation spot, Glacier National Park. It's one of the most beautiful parts of God's amazing creation. It's a hiker's paradise. It's an absolutely beautiful, scenic place that where you literally see the hand of God. You see God at work in His creation. But one of the main reasons why we love to go to Glacier National Park, and we've been there at least 10 times, is because there are bears there. Grizzly bears. You know, on this vacation, we were only there for 6 days, but in those 6 days, we saw 25 bears in 6 days. And sometimes you do see the mama bear and the cub. Sometimes you see that. Now, you don't want to get too close, mind you, but you get to see bears. But you know, there was an issue on this vacation. We were there for 6 days, but there was a lot going on in our lives at the time. There were some family issues that we were dealing with. And there were things that were happening in our lives. And one of the big issues in our life during that vacation was whether or not God wanted us to leave Rapid City and Bible Fellowship Church, and would God open up the door for me and Jody to return back to First Baptist Church here in Cape May Courthouse. And so I wasn't enjoying the vacation like I should be. In fact, honestly, my mind was dwelling on things of the past. I was thinking a whole lot about the future and about what God wanted to do, and I found myself mired down with these thoughts. The stinking thinking had come in and kind of overruled the vacation. So I prayed about it, and I asked God, and God gave me this message. You cannot undo the past, you cannot control the future, but you can live in the present. And so I decided to do an experiment. I decided to employ what I call the now strategy, where you enjoy God's presence now in the present time. That day that God gave me the message, I was going on a hike for 5 hours up to Ptarmigan Tunnel, an incredible place to go hiking. And I decided that whenever my mind was starting to wander to the past, right, to start to dwell about things in the past, or when I started wondering about the future and what God was going to do, I would say the word now, now. And that was an effective way for me to block out the past, to block out the future, and enjoy God's presence. And on that hike, I took the hand of God, and I let God take me up that mountain. And it was a marvelous, incredible adventure, walking with God, knowing God, living with God in the present. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm here to tell you that I've wasted a lot of time and energy dwelling on the past. Amen. And I've wasted a lot of time and energy of focusing too much on the future, about what God is going to do and what this is about. And I'm here to tell you that it's best to live in the present, and that this statement is true. You cannot undo the past, you cannot control the future, but you can live in the present. It's called the now strategy. And you know, I think the verses that we're going to look at today is going to help each one of us. We're going to be helped. If you too struggle with dwelling on the past, thinking too much about the future, these scripture verses today, I believe, are going to help you, and I know they've been immensely helpful for me. And they're all part of the sermon series called Life-Changing Verses. Each week, we're taking a look at one particular verse. Today, we're going to take a look at two verses. I honestly believe if these verses are known, if they're understood, and if they're applied to a person's life, they'll make a significant impact in your life. They can literally be life-changing. And it's all with the sermon series called Life-Changing Verses. Instead of having sermon notes during the sermon series, you have your little scripture card. And it's got the verses on there. And so now you see, if you're taking a look at your scripture card, where do we land today? We're in the book of Philippians. What is the book of Philippians all about? Well, it's in the New Testament of our Bibles. It's a letter that was written by the Apostle Paul. He's writing to primarily Gentile Christians. These are non-Jewish Christians in a church that Paul started in Philippi. It's a Roman colony in Macedonia. You can look that up on your own time to take a look at the map of where that is located. Here are the purposes of this particular letter that Paul wrote. Number one, it's a thank you letter. He's thanking them for the gift that was sent through a man by the name of Epaphroditus. But the bulk of this letter is an encouragement. It's an encouragement to people like you and me to live an authentic Christian life in a hostile world. Some of the unique features of Philippians are the following. There are no Old Testament quotes in the entire letter. That's because he's writing to primarily a non-Jewish audience. This is known as the letter of joy because the word joy is used 16 times in the letter. And what makes this astounding in Philippians is that Paul was under house arrest when he wrote the letter. And so even when you're incarcerated, you can experience joy. The Apostle Paul is proof positive of that. And Paul conveys his own personal experiences in this letter. And in the section where we are today, it could be titled, Press On Toward Spiritual Maturity. Walk and Take Step by Step. Living in the Present is another way to say it. Philippians chapter 3, 12 through 16. Well, if you have your Bible, you can go ahead and take a look at these verses. I'm going to read them for you. And we're going to take a look and we're going to look at these verses phrase by phrase. Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Hear the word of the Lord. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 3, 13 and 14. Something you need to know about the language that is used in these two verses. He uses athletic imagery. Most likely he's thinking about the Greek games, the athletic games that took place in Macedonia that his audience would be familiar with. And what he's doing in using this athletic imagery, he's using an analogy that the Christian life is like running in a race. And Paul does this in some of his letters, if you read them. The Christian life is like running a race where you're moving forward step by step by step, and you've got your eyes on the finish line, and you're going to finish strong because you want to win the race. So I want you to think about that, and I'll mention it several times as we take a look at this passage. We now turn to a teaching time. I want to go through these two verses phrase by phrase so we can understand what is being taught here so that our lives can be changed for the better. Are you ready? Let's dig in and take a look. He begins in the NIV in verse 13, brothers and sisters. This is affection he's showing to his spiritual family, like, dear brothers and sisters. He's focusing their attention. Listen up. I've got something important to say. And we're in this together. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. We're striving for these things together. And it opens up a new section here in verses 13 and 14. He says, brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. You know, in the original language, after the word brothers in the Greek language, it simply could be translated, I myself, the Apostle Paul. And what he's saying here is that even I'm the Apostle Paul, even me, even myself, I myself have not taken hold of it, meaning I've not reached spiritual maturity. He's admitting, I haven't arrived. I'm not fully grown up in Christ. I still have a ways to go. God has still got to mold and shape me. Even I'm the Apostle Paul, and I'm not fully mature. Certainly we can relate to that if the Apostle Paul is making a statement like this. This is simply a statement of humility. He's clearly telling us, I'm not better than anyone else. Reminds me of Proverbs 3:34 and quoted in James 4:6. God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. He's not arrived. He's still growing spiritually. But one thing I do, he says. The one thing I do means, he's saying, this is my single aim. This is my complete focus. This is my top priority. In the New Living Translation, here's a paraphrase of this. I am focusing all my energies on this one thing. Well, what is Paul's single aim? What is his focus? What is he making as his top priority? He simply says, forgetting what is behind. In the New Living Translation, it is forgetting the past. And it's important that this is a participle that is in the present tense. This is something he continually does in his life. This is not like a one-time thing where you say, oh yeah, I forgot the past a few years ago. This is something he continually is doing in his life. He's forgetting the past. He's putting the past behind him, continually, constantly doing that. Forgetting the past is to refuse to be consumed by the past, not to be negatively influenced by the past, not allowing the past to weigh one down, breaking free from the past. And what was done is done. It's over. It's in the past. Now, I'm here to tell you that I believe that if you're going to forget the past, if you're going to put the past behind you, it's inevitable in most cases, and I think we can all relate to this, that if we're going to apply this to our lives, it most likely is going to involve forgiveness. It's going to involve forgiveness. If you're going to put the past behind you, it's going to involve not counting a sin that was done against you by another. It's going to involve forgiveness. Usually about once a year, I try to preach on forgiveness because it's absolutely critical to living the successful Christian life. And it's something that all of us can relate with, and it's something we all find difficult. So we're going to do some application right now. Do you want to put the past behind you? Are you tired of dwelling on the past? It's time to forgive. This is a review. I've gone over this in other messages, but I think it's worth reviewing. What is forgiveness? What do we mean when we say you need to forgive someone? Have you ever wondered that? In a summation statement, it means letting go and letting God, where you're letting the person and what they've done to you off your hook. You're releasing that person and what was done to you. You're letting it go, and you're letting God settle the score. God is the righteous judge. And the person and whatever has been done to you, they're always on God's hook. But when you forgive, you're letting it go, and you're letting it to God. Forgiveness is a choice that you make. It's an act of your will. It's something that you decide to do. It's not a feeling. You know, some people have said to me, I'm going to wait till I forgive. I'm going to wait until I feel like forgiving. Well, you know what? You're never going to feel like forgiving because what? Resentment and bitterness begins to grow within you. Am I right? And so you're farther and farther away from forgiving. It's not a feeling. It's a choice. It's a decision that you make. Forgiveness is not reconciliation, but forgiveness begins the healing process. Some people say they don't want to forgive because then everything's going to be right with that person. That's not true. Reconciliation is a process. Forgiveness is something you do in a point in time, and it begins the healing process. Forgiveness is good for you. This is probably one of the most overlooked aspects of forgiveness, is that it's good for you. You know, when you don't forgive somebody, when you don't forgive what's been done to you, you're carrying around a heavy backpack. You're weighed down, and the more you don't forgive, the heavier it gets. But when you forgive, whew, you take the heavy backpack off, you put it down, and you walk away free. Because you're no longer tied to that person and what they've done. Because you've let it go. And you're letting God take care of it. Forgiveness is between you and God in prayer. You don't even have to involve the other person or people or whatever's been done to you. You don't have to involve them. You simply come before God in prayer. It's one of these, "Dear God, I choose to forgive so-and-so for what he or she did to me. I express my hurt feelings to you. I'm frustrated, I'm upset, I'm angry, but I'm choosing to let go and let you take care of it because you're the righteous judge." It's a prayer like that, you see. Forgiveness is a matter of obedience. We're exhorted to forgive in Ephesians 4:32. Forgiveness is easier when you remember the sins God has forgiven you. This works for me every time. You know, someone says an unkind word to me or something, and I'm holding the grudge and I'm holding it in. All I have to do is think about all the many sins that I've committed and how God has forgiven me of everyone by the blood of Jesus. And it makes it a whole lot simpler and easier to forgive when you remember the sins that God has forgiven you. And you got to remind yourself often, "I forgave." You know when that bitterness comes up about something with that person, just go, I forgave that person. I've forgiven what happened there. I've let it go. You got to remind yourself, am I right? Because the stuff, the junk will come back upon you. You got to remind yourself. And then finally, number 9, remember to forgive yourself. Sometimes the hardest person to forgive is yourself. If you're a Christian here today, if you've put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ for your salvation, do you believe that Jesus died for you? Do you believe that he rose from the dead? Amen. Well, then you're forgiven of all your sins, past, present, and future. Can I hear an amen to that? Amen. That's good news. If God can forgive you, certainly you can forgive yourself. Think about that. If you're going to put the past behind you, it's usually going to involve forgiveness. And in the same breath, he says that I'm putting the past behind, I'm straining toward what lies ahead. The straining here is a present participle, just like the previous statement was. And this is something he continually does. He's straining forward. He's moving forward to what lies ahead. For Paul, in the context here, he's talking about spiritual maturity. He's straining toward spiritual maturity. He wants to be a mature Christian in Christ. He wants to diligently live for Jesus now, one step at a time. Remember the athletic imagery I told you about? This picture is a runner running one step in front of the other, one step in front of the other, living for Jesus. He goes on to say, "I press on towards the goal." Press on is in the present tense. And it means to continually live straight ahead, taking one step forward, pressing on, one step ahead, one step forward. It's complete dedication to moving forward. And the goal or the goal marker, we would say the finish line when we think about a race, the runner is running to the finish line. For Paul, within the context here, his goal in life is to know Jesus completely, and that total maturity is going to come when he arrives in heaven and he gets to see Jesus face to face once again as he did for his conversion. And then he closes off verse 14 by saying, "To win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." The prize is an award. And here the prize refers to Jesus Christ himself. Jesus is the prize. Amen? Jesus is the prize. It's to know Jesus Christ fully and completely, namely heaven, because he says the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. And heaven is only for those who are in union with Christ Jesus. Those who have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, believing he died on the cross and that he rose again. Those are the ones whose sins are forgiven. Those are the ones who get to go to heaven. And that's what Paul is teaching here in verse 14. Those who are in Christ Jesus. Philippians 3, 13 and 14. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. As I close, I want you to think about the following words from 2 Timothy. Paul, when he was finishing up his life, he knew he was coming to the end, and he wrote this letter to Timothy, the guy that he mentored, the guy that he discipled, and he wrote these words. He writes to Timothy and says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. You know, when the Apostle Paul penned Philippians 3, 13 and 14, he didn't just write it for other people. It was a testimony about his life. And he lived it out. He lived it out in such a way that he could make a statement like this. And I ask you a question here today. Could you make this statement about yourself? Could you stand up and testify before your church family and say, I have fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness. And the words go on. Would you be able to say that about your own life? We know one thing for sure, the Apostle Paul lived it out, did he not? So much so that when he was done with his life, Paul got to hear these wonderful words. Well done, good and faithful servant. Welcome home. Do you want to hear those words? Do you want to hear God say that to you? That's what Philippians 3, 13 and 14 are all about. You cannot undo the past. You cannot control the future, but you can live in the present. And you can move, as Paul was saying, step by step by step, keeping focused on the goal, Jesus Christ and Him crucified, risen, and coming again, and that full maturity in Christ. So I encourage you, try it out sometime. When you're dwelling too much on the past, when you're focused too much on the future, say the word now and reach out your hand to the living, loving God and practice the presence of God in the present time and follow the instructions of Philippians 3, 13 and 14. Well, brothers and sisters, let's say the verses together in unison. We'll start with the address. 1, 2, 3. Philippians 3, 13 and 14. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. And all God's children said, let it be so.